Give me your undivided attention on the Manifest Telecast today. Before I begin to teach, when the rocks and the clay speaks, I want to share something with you very important. I've been working for several years on a secret project. On this telecast, when we go to the break, we are releasing the secret project publicly. So don't miss what we're about to share with you today. It's going to be very unique and interesting, to say the least. When the rocks and the clay pots speak, one of the things I've loved to do for many years is travel to the nation of Israel, the Holy Land, including Egypt and Jordan, which is the area of the cradle of civilization, and begin to study items and relics and coins that help authenticate the authenticity of the stories that are written in the Word of God. I personally believe that archaeology helps assist in the historical evidence that the stories of the Bible are absolutely true. Now in Psalms 102, 13 through 14, here's what the scripture says. You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. For your servants take pleasure in her stones and favor to her dust, show favor to her dust. Now, what is funny about this statement, and I knew this verse was in the Bible for many years, was the idea of how the servants favor the stones and the dust of the city of Zion or the city of Jerusalem. Well, to be quite honest with you, in the ancient days, that's all the city of Jerusalem was rocks, cut rocks, rocks from the land, and dirt and dust. And I always get very amused when I travel to the Holy Land. I will see these sets of three things that you buy, and they're usually in a little glass container: dust from the Holy Land, small rocks from the Holy Land, and water from the Jordan River. And of course, these are relics that, they're part of Israel that people love to bring back. Now, a funny story, and I do want to recommend that when you go to Israel, don't go picking up rocks and try to carry the rocks back in your suitcase. But we were coming through Tel Aviv security one time, and one of our ladies, we didn't know she did this, but she had literally picked up a rock from every area that she could find where we visited, and she had written in a marker where it was from. Well, when the security began to open her suitcase and looked, he said, "Oh my, you Americans are crazy. You keep doing this, there'll be no Israel left. It will all be in America." We laughed so hard about that. But the fact is that when you go to, let's say, the nation of Israel, and even Jordan, which is very historic biblically, and the country of Egypt, but especially the nation of Israel, you will see places that are found in the Bible. And I want to ask you a question. Do you enjoy studying history, especially history as it relates to early American history or early civilization or her early biblical history? Do you enjoy the history of the city of Jerusalem, Israel, the Middle East? Listen, I know that I do. And I fell in love with the history of the land because of seeing the places that you actually get to go and stand. If you've never been on a trip to the Holy Land, I just want to encourage you to go, and go with us if you have the opportunity, because what happens is when you stand there, you first of all have a presence of the Lord that you can feel in the land. If you're sensitive to the things of the Holy Spirit, you will be able to sense the peace and the presence of God. It's absolutely amazing. That part of it, you can't bring home. You can't transfer that over here, because it's a special presence because of the land. Another thing that happens is you get to stand in places where Jesus stood, where the prophets of the Bible stood, and where the actual stories of the Bible took place. And to be able to stand there and say, "Oh my goodness, this, it happened here." And I remember the first time that I went and got to the Galilee area, and we went to the area of Capernaum, which was one of the three cities that Jesus had ministered in. And I never will forget, they were just starting the excavation. Now the whole area is beginning to be excavated, of course. We're talking now about 30 some years ago, almost 40 years ago. And I remember standing there and thinking to myself, Jesus stood here. And I actually went into a spiritual shock. I don't know if you've ever had that happen before. I literally went into a spiritual shock. But one of the things I have enjoyed over the years is many of the archaeological excavations. I, for many, many years, had a subscription to a biblical archaeology Theology Magazine. I love studying the history. I love studying what they were discovering because it's just a part of who I am. It's a part of what I am. It's a part of what I enjoy. So I'm going to share with you today about how the clay and the rocks and the pots speak out to show us the inspiration of the Bible. Now, this is important, folks, because in the culture that we have today, especially in North America, you have so many professors at the Ivy League universities or other universities for that matter, and you have so many people who do not know the Bible. They're completely, completely illiterate of what the Scripture teaches, and they just say, like, well, that book, you can't trust it. That book is old. That book is archaic. That book is ancient. It's a bunch of stories somebody's put together. Yes, it's stories that are inspired from God Himself. And so I'm going to share with you some things. First of all, I want to take a look at some ancient cities. First is the city of Bethlehem. Today it's a modern city, but it is the city of King David and, of course, Jesus Christ. Then another city that was very impressive to me was the ruins at the excavation of the city of Jericho. Jericho was destroyed and rebuilt several times, but there's two Jerichos when you go to Israel. One is near the Temptation Restaurant. That's right. That's the name of it. By the way, it's a very good place to eat and shop, but the Temptation Restaurant owned by some friends of ours, and that is where the old tell, when I say the word tell, that means the mountain or the hill where the city of Jericho was built. And you can see the old stones, you can see the layers, but then if you go just up the road, and you have to go off the beaten path kind of to do this down a dirt road, you will come to the city of Jericho from the time of the New Testament or the time of Jesus, where in the New Testament, a man named Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, was sitting by the gate outside the city begging. So when you talk about Jericho, there are two, one from Joshua's time, and of course, one from Christ's time. There's actually three, and the third is the modern city of Jericho, which was built around that spring of water they call the spring of Elijah. Now, if you go into what is termed by modern people today as the West Bank, which is the heart of the nation of Israel, you will go to Hebron, and Hebron is where the caves are, where Abraham is buried, and many of the matriarchs and patriarchs. Hebron is the place where David centered his headquarters prior to becoming the king of Israel and moving the headquarters to the city of Jerusalem. So Hebron has this enormous history that dates all the way back to the time of our father Abraham. Then what other city is there on the face of the earth like the city of Jerusalem? As I'm sitting here sharing this with you, I can see it in my mind. I have a picture of it kind of here in the background. Well, there we go. And there's the dome. I'm kind of sitting in the way here. But let me just say to you that when you go to the city of Jerusalem, you can see the old city, the old walls of the old city rebuilt by several different empires through history. You can see the modern area of Jerusalem. You can see the Jewish quarter, the Christian quarter, the Armenian quarter. There's so many, the Muslim area. There's so many beautiful areas and wonderful, wonderful shops, stores, hotels. And of course, the most famous part is right here, the Dome of the Rock, which sits on the Temple Mount there in the city of Jerusalem. That is like the centerpiece of the entire city. Then you go to Shechem. Shechem is where the history of Jacob is. It's where Jacob was taken and Joseph was later buried there. The tomb of Joseph is there in Shechem. So these are great places. Now, when we come into the New Testament era, some of the cities that we read about in the New Testament, first of all, we have the city of Nazareth, which again is a very modern city. You can go into some of the churches there and you can see the ruins that date back to the very, very early Nazareth that existed in the Roman period, which is the time of early Roman period. Mary and Joseph, and of course, Christ was raised in that area of Nazareth. And then you have the area of Bethany, which is behind the Mount of Olives, on the backside of the Mount of Olives. The story of Mary and Martha. Martha and Lazarus are connected with Bethany. They show you a traditional tomb of Lazarus, and it may have been, it may not have been, but it does date back for a long time as a tomb that was marked. And then when you go into the Galilee, you have the upper Galilee where Nazareth is, and you have the lower Galilee where the Sea of Galilee is located. And you come to, you can see the excavations of actually four cities now. You see the excavation of Magdala, which is one of my favorite excavations. It's massive. It's fantastic. You go to Capernaum, and of course, we know that Peter had a house there. We know that disciples ministered there. We know that there was a fishing business there. Then you go to Bethsaida, which was another city where over half of the disciples were from the city of Bethsaida. That also was in the lower Galilee. That is a tourist site, of course. Now, when you go there, basically, you know, you see rocks, and it's like, oh, we keep seeing rocks. But then you have houses, you have shops, you have synagogues, and that's what makes the city's important because these are the places that are mentioned where Jesus himself ministered. Then you go to another one of my favorite places. I've always enjoyed the people that have the national park, that are over the National Park Service in this place, Chorazin. We've built some great friendships there over the years, and I miss them right now. Talking about this, I miss them. And this is where we know that Christ ministered there. And here's what's interesting. I want to give this to you from a prophetic perspective. Here's what's interesting about those three cities, which is the city of Bethsaida, the city of Chorazin, and the city of Capernaum, is in Jesus' ministry, Matthew 21:23, right in there in those areas, those chapters, Jesus cursed those three cities. In fact, when he went to Bethsaida, he went to heal a blind man, and he took him on the outskirts of the city before he actually healed him. And Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum were all put under a curse because Jesus said, if the miracles that had been done in you would have been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. And so they were very belligerent. The common people weren't, but the religious people in that area were very belligerent toward Jesus Christ and toward his ministry. And so as a result of that, he cursed the cities. Now here's what's interesting. Bethlehem was never put under that curse. It was rebuilt. Jericho was put under a curse. It was rebuilt, but then as far as the old tale was never rebuilt upon after a certain period of time. You have, however, Bethsaida, Chorazin, and Capernaum. These three cities, oddly enough, even though they're historic, they're tourist sites, but they have never been rebuilt as a major city even to this day. They are just in ruins. So when Jesus put a curse on those cities and they were eventually destroyed, I don't want to go back and give you all the history because it would be too long and I'll fall short of my program, but it's very interesting that you visit the ruins, but you don't visit a modern city in those particular three areas. And that's the prophecy that Jesus gave to those three cities. Now, when it comes to ancient nations, and we can show you maps of this that come up, we have the Egyptian Empire, which is listed throughout history, first mentioned in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 10. We have the area of Syria, which was also known as Assyria, throughout history, and it's first mentioned in Judges chapter 10, verse 6. You have nation. Nation of Egypt, nation of Syria. I'm still on the word city, so bear with me if I make a mistake there in my wording. The nation of Lebanon, it is mentioned throughout biblical history, first mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 7. You have the nation of Jordan, which in the Old Testament was known in Genesis 3, verse 13 and verse 10. It was known as Edom and Moab, or the Edomites and the Moabites were tribal areas there in the Old Testament, I should say, but it's first mentioned, that area is mentioned in Genesis 13 and 10, and it is connected to what was called the Jordan River. And the Jordan River became the dividing line of the country of Jordan and the area of Israel. And so one of the reasons that the area of Jordan was called Jordan was because of the division of the river. And that river goes all the way up, starts way up in Banias, all the way up into the area of Caesarea Philippi, comes all the way into the Sea of Galilee area, exits the Sea of Galilee, goes all the way south into, empties into the northern part of the Dead Sea. So Jordan River is connected to the country of Jordan. And I'm giving you some great history here, and I've got to show you in a moment, so you better hang with me, because stay with me here. And in the Persian Empire, we have the area of Persia, which today are called the Iranians. Now, Persia is mentioned in 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 20. You also have the country of Iraq, which was known in the Bible time as the land of Ur, or better as Babel. Tower of Babel was built in that area. And also the Empire of Babylon, first mentioned in Genesis chapter 10:10. So these are, now I'm going to give you a point here in a moment that's very, very important. You have the nation of Libya, which is mentioned as part of the war of Gog of Magog in Ezekiel chapter 30 and verse 5. Now, here's the part that I want to give you. Is it interesting? Yes, it is, in my opinion, that in the Bible, all of the nations I have named still are in existence, and most of them still maintain their ancient name. Jordan is still Jordan. Egypt is Egypt. Libya is still called Libya. Syria is still called Syria. Lebanon is still called Lebanon. Israel is still called Israel. Now, that's amazing to me, because in the prophecies of what's going to happen in the future, it uses these names. Now, if their names were totally different today, we may have an issue with understanding Bible prophecy. But because they've maintained the same names through history, I believe That was the actual will of God. Now, when you talk about the cities, which we mentioned a moment ago, Bethlehem, same name, Capernaum, Chorazin, Bethsaida, Magdala, same name, Nazareth, same name, Jericho, same name, Jerusalem, same name, Hebron, same name. So when you see the prophecies for the future that have not yet happened, and you read about them in the Old Testament and you read about them in the New Testament, we have to understand that that is a part of the fact that the Bible is the inspired word of God. Now, most of you know that, and we're working on it right now, it's going to be fabulous, that we are building a Holy Land relic display. I mean, it's going to be a massive room. I don't even know how big that room is. It's probably 14,000 square feet or so, maybe larger. And so the ancient relics, and this is something I have loved ever since I've gone to Israel back in the 1980s, because you read about these things in the Bible. Now, you've heard about oil lamps. There's all kinds. I have every oil lamp from every time frame, from the earliest to the Byzantine to the Islamic. And this is one I want to show you. I'm going to hold that up right there. This is an ancient oil lamp. Take a look at that. It is absolutely incredible. It is authentic. And I'm not going to give you the time frames and all because I would run out of time. Now, we also know that there's many things, not only oil lamps, there's water jugs. Now, most of you think of a water jug as like a jug that you see, you know, in the movies or things that they're carrying around from a well. This is a water bottle. Look at this. This is a small water bottle, and you could put oil in there, or you could put water in there, or you could put like milk in there. I said it's so small, I really don't know what it was used for. We have not got our papers through the museum yet. We're going to get those. And by the time you see this, we probably will have everything we need. But this is all a part of it. And then there's ancient glass. And I'm going to be very careful with this. This is Phoenician glass. And we had some donated to the museum from different people. But this is some of the oldest glass in the world. And there will be many pieces at the Holy Land Relic Museum in Cleveland, Tennessee that are going to be put on display. Now, the reason I'm showing you this, I'm going to be very careful with this, slide that right back over there. The reason I'm showing you this is these particular items where it talks about stone vessels and it talks about clay vessels, these are all found in Scripture. And so you can see some, and I wish I had time to just show you some of the things that we have, but we're going to save that for the museum. Now, I want to show you this. I'm going to hold this up. And I want to go to this camera over here on this side. I'm going to hold it up against the blue here, and hopefully my shirt, you'll be able to see these. One of the things that absolutely shows you that the biblical history is correct are the ancient coins that they find. And I want to keep that shot up because I'm going to point out these coins to you. The coin here at the top is a gold coin of Emperor Vespasian, who was the first one to surround Jerusalem, was voted out as emperor. When he left, there was a break where the Jews could leave the city, and that's when the Christians left and fled to Pella, and his son Titus came in and destroyed the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Very historic. Then over here on this side is what is called a widow's mite. That one is in such gem mint condition, it's unbelievable because you can't find him in that condition. And that's the coin mentioned in the New Testament where it says the woman gave two mites, and this is just one type. There are several different types. Some of them have, all of them have a star on the front, but they have a different back sometimes, depending on their age. This one on this side over here is the famous Masada coin. Once again, this one is in incredible shape. And all these are museum pieces, by the way. This one at the bottom is a Pontius Pilate coin. He minted three different styles and three different time frames. That one is very significant. And what I'm going to show you in the secret project, this might be a clue for you in the secret pop project to some extent, that coin right there. And then, ladies and gentlemen, one of the greatest coins that was ever minted, in my opinion, is the Bar Kokhba coin. Let me show you this one right here. We have one right in the middle. And this is the coin that has the Jewish temple on it. And when we get into the secret project that we're about to release today, this is part of the gift in the secret project. Perry, what are you talking about? This right here, which this coin values now between an average of $18,000 to $25,000, and one of them, if it has the right mint mark, is $85,000 in value. So that gives you an idea of some things. Now, I love ancient history. I love because it proves the Bible is the Word of God. But we're going to do something, and I want you to pay careful attention. I'm now releasing the secret project. I was going to bring an envelope out here and show you this. There is something in an envelope. It is a book. It's about 148 pages. It is a full color book. It's actually not a book like you think of a book. It's a book like this and like that. And about for the past couple years, I had, and I'm not going to rehash all of this, but I had a mental and physical and collapse. I'm telling you, my body literally shut down on me, started shutting down. And I kept pushing myself till I had really on the verge of a breakdown. And of course, the doctor said I probably did have some kind of a breakdown. Again, not bragging on that, but I had to have relief in my mind. I had burnt my mind out from studying, from traveling, and I just couldn't go anymore. So I took a sabbatical. In fact, I personally took an extended one. And during that time, I came up with something that I've always wanted to do that was on my bucket list. And honestly, over the past 2 years and over 2 years now, I've worked on this. I believe I've perfected it. And I said, I'm so tired of people staying home because of COVID and families are depressed and kids are depressed. They need to have some fun and get out. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to introduce to you something that is absolutely, in my opinion, fantastic. And it is a book that you can order. And what we're going to do, we're going to let you order the book now, and we're going to send all the books out after the first of the year at the same time. Now, please keep that in mind. So you might not get it immediately. We're going to send them all out at one time, and you're going to understand why when I come back after this announcement. I want to encourage you. This is going to be fun, and somebody is going to get blessed like they can't even imagine if you can solve America's first treasure hunt based on Christian principles and based on Holy Land relics. You got to watch this. You're not going to believe it. Be right back in a moment.
You, your family, and friends can now participate in America's very first Christian-based treasure hunt with prizes awarded to the winner with an estimated value of $500,000. The Treasure Book is a fictional story of Perry Stone's daughter traveling the Appalachian mountain chain, using her father's clues to search for a hidden key that releases the door to her inheritance. In the book, a special key has been hidden that, when found, will award valuable gifts to the finder. Follow the rules, compile the correct clues to discover the hiding place, and then retrieve the key. Present the key to Perry Stone, revealing how you solved the mystery from the book's clues to be awarded the fabulous gifts. The prize items were donated by businesses and individuals specifically for this search. The items include fabulous diamond, tanzanite, ruby, sapphire, and emerald rings, valuable earrings, bracelets, necklaces, and gemstones, elaborate gifts from Israel, including trays of bronze coins, silver Roman emperor coins, ancient silver Greek coins, and valuable Jewish coins of antiquity. The prize also includes gold, silver, and platinum American coins with numerous Morgan silver dollars, along with 1 ounce silver bars and silver rounds. Included are American Eagle, graded and slabbed silver dollars, and signed sports and celebrity cards. There is a major stamp collection along with authentic ancient Holy Land relics. Two of the highest valued prizes are a famous and rare 1,950-year-old temple shekel and a beautiful gold Roman emperor coin. Anyone of any age can participate. You will need the book, The Treasure, to solve the mystery of the hidden key. The search is designed for individuals, families, youth groups, and small groups. Work together to solve the puzzle. Many of the clues can be solved from your home or office. However, a trip must be taken to discover the final clues and the exact spot. No one who has in the past or present worked for Perry Stone or any of his ministries are allowed to participate. Eligible individuals can participate by purchasing the 152-page, full-color, 28-chapter book, The Treasure, to research clues to the key's hiding place. The book is $35, and there is a limit to per family. It is only available through Voice of Evangelism and not in any bookstore. Income from the book goes toward the Voice of Evangelism's 7-point outreaches. Order this exciting and unique book by calling 1-888-21-BREAD or go to perrystone.org. You can also request the book by mailing in your donation of $35 or more to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320, and request offer TR1. Order now and be one of the first to receive your copy and begin a fun journey with family and friends to research the clues and solve the mystery.
Make plans to attend the 2023 International Prophetic Summit, April 27th through 30th at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee. Come hear the latest prophecy updates from Jonathan Kahn, Lance Wallnau, Jimmy Evans, Mark Biltz, Bill Cloud, and Perry Stone. There is no fee to attend, but you must register online at perrystone.org, where you will also find information on hotels in the area. Seating is limited, so sign up today. Don't miss fresh insights and exciting new prophetic revelation at the 2023 International Prophetic Summit. Register now.
All right, we're continuing this great manifest teaching, but our offer is very unique. You may never see this again. This may be the only time in my life that you'll ever see this. I wrote this book, took me a long time, years to write it, years to perfect it. And it's called you saw the advertisement, the Appalachian Treasure Hunt. I've always wanted to do this. So this is on my bucket list. Don't criticize me for doing this. This is my bucket list. Perry Stone wanted to do it. And I appreciate the businessmen and even the shopkeepers in Israel that helped us put so much investment in to the prize that someone's going to get. The prize is valued at about $500,000, over 500 individual items. And I always want to show you something that's in there as we do the little advertisement here about the material with the follow-up. This is a coin, which is one of the Revolt coins, authentic coin. It's in a piece of jewelry. And I won't go into detail to explaining it. You see a great picture of it right there. And so that's a prize to the winner among all the other prizes that are there. So what you'll need is to get the book. Don't forget, you've got to hurry up and register for Bill Cloud and I just as soon as possible to be sure that you're a part of that on demand on a Thursday and Friday. Two messages by Bill, two from me, and also a great question and answer session. Going to do a lot of different things in this one, and we're going to be sharing with you some things that we would never, we're going to be pretty blunt. We're going to use words that we would be banned on normal social media. So that's why we're doing it this way, on demand. And information is at perrystone.org. So we want you to participate in that and watch us for this special event. We're not preaching the same messages that we're preaching at the summit. The summit is completely different in the month of April. This is something we wanted to do kind of to whet your appetite for the summit that's coming up. It's in March. Summit's in April. Also, I'll be coming to ISO at the end of March, last Sunday of March, and we're going to be preaching a very special message and praying for people. We've been doing this off and on throughout the years. March the 26th in Cleveland, Tennessee, and then going to Boaz, Alabama on the 7th. Go to perrystone.org. Where we're going to be coming to, we've got a camp meeting coming up in Montana on the Crow Reservation. A lot of great things happening in the future. See you next week.